that is leading them to eternal death and damnation. Come on, that we won't have the boldness and the ability to speak when we know the truth. Amen. So we're going to talk about, like I said, a subject this morning that honestly, in my walk within the church, I haven't heard a lot of sermons about this because it's not a popular thing to be able to talk about. So we're going to ask the Lord to give us grace. So everybody put your hand on your heart and let's just declare right now, this is good ground. I receive the word of God. It brings forth a harvest in my life. The enemy cannot touch the word of God. It brings forth fruit. Amen, amen. So we thank you for the anointed appointed word this morning. We thank you that it accomplished what it sets forth to do. Father, we thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, that we prepare our hearts this morning for the word. And we thank you that the enemy has no power and no right to the seed because it is planted in good ground this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read out of the Passion Version and I'm going to go into Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read several scriptures. So just hang with me, okay? It's Ephesians 5, and I'm going to go through 1 through 21. All right, are we ready? Here we go. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrender to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. And have nothing to do with sexual immorality, lust, or greed, for you are his holy ones, and let no one be able to accuse you of them in any form. Guard your speech. Forsake obscenities and worthless insults. These are nonsensical words that bring disgrace and are unnecessary. Instead, let worship fill your heart and spill out of your words, for it has been made clear to you already that the kingdom of God cannot be accessed by anyone who is guilty of sexual sin or who is impure or greedy, for greed is the essence of idolatry. How could they expect to have an inheritance in Christ's kingdom while doing those things? Verse 6, don't be fooled by those who speak their empty words and deceptive teachings telling you otherwise. This is what brings God's anger upon the rebellious. Don't listen to them or live like them at all. Once your life was full of sin's darkness, but now you have the very light of our Lord shining through you because of your union with him. Your mission is to live as children flooded with his revelation light, and the supernatural fruits of his life light will be seen in you. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Then you will learn to choose what is beautiful in the Lord. In 11, and don't even associate with the servants of darkness because they have no fruit in them. Instead, reveal truth to them. The very things they do in secret are too vile and filthy to even mention. Whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct. Everybody say correct. And everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. This is why the scripture says, arise, you sleeper, rise up from your coffin, and the anointed one will shine his light upon you, into you. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom. For we are all living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. And don't live foolishly. And then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. And don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. Keep speaking to each other with words of scriptures, singing the psalms with praises, and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. Spontaneous worship. Hello. Always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one in verse 21. And out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. And I want you to put it in the King James Version, if you would. The New King James Version says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. submitting to one another in the fear of God. Can anybody guess what the word that I'm going to be talking about up here is the word that I want to be able to deliver to you this morning? It's the first word, submitting. Man, it is a mouthful. It is a lot. It is when we begin to talk about submitting our lives, it really is like an onion. It has layers. It has layers upon layers upon layers of submitting. And I want to try to break it down to you this morning in three simple areas. But trust me, there's so much more in the when you live a life that is submitted to the Lord in the fear of the Lord. And a lot of times when you see that word fear, you want to think about, well, fear in the sense of like of being scared, of a phobia. You know what I mean? Being terrified. That's not what they're referring to in this. What it's talking about was the fear of the Lord is talking about a reverence of the Lord, an honoring of the Lord, a reverence of His authority. Amen. Pastor Greg had done some amazing teachings on authority of the in the body, authority that we have in the body of Christ. And the best way that I can think about the reverence or the honoring is similar to an analogy that he did about talking about the authority of like a police officer. Let's just say, for instance, that you come in and you're in your vehicle and you're driving up and there's a wreck up ahead. And so there's a police officer that's there and the police officer is stopping traffic. So the police officer is just standing and he's putting his hands this way. That is the authority to stop the traffic. So we submit our vehicle, even though maybe it's a red light, maybe even it's a stop sign, maybe it's a green, I mean, maybe even it's in a green light, it's the direction we're going to go. But when we see that authority and the authority stops, we submit that vehicle to the authority of that police officer. And he may detour us. He may take us in a different direction. We may have to sit there and wait a while. If we choose to disregard the authority of that police officer and continue to go on, number one, you may not be able to get through where the wreck was at. And number two, you're probably going to get a consequence of a ticket because you did not adhere to the authority that told you to stop. Submitting in its easiest form is something that's very similar to that. The reverence of the Lord, because if the Lord says stop, I trust Him. I know that there's a reason that I'm supposed to stop because I don't want the consequence. It's a reverence of the Lord. Does everybody agree with me on that? Do we get that? It's not fear in the sense, oh my gosh, I'm scared. If I don't submit, God's going to come down, strike me with the bolt of lightning, split both my ears out, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to be cut in two. That's not the type of fear that we're talking about in here. God is always motivated through love and knowing what's best for us. Amen? All right, so now that we got that, the scripture talks about of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with His Spirit. I don't know how many conversations and stuff I have with people and they are having issues with their children, with their spouse, with their family member, with their boss, with whatever. And there's one thing that I can tell you with all 100% confidence is that you are never able to change a person. You cannot change. You cannot make a person love Jesus. You cannot manipulate them to fall in love with Jesus. You can't. It's not possible. All you can do is control the person that you look into the mirror at. You are the only person. You are the only person that can change. You have to inwardly look at yourself and allow God to begin to change you through the Holy Spirit, to be able to walk in such a way that you look, act, talk like Jesus. When we think about being under the influence, let's just say because I know none of you have ever been under the influence, okay? Let's just, you know, whatever it might be. None of you have ever done that. So we're going to talk about someone who has ever been under the influence of drugs, of alcohol, or whatever it is, under the influence. It changes the way they talk, act, and do, right? We had a friend that was just the nicest person in the world. Oh my gosh, they were cordial, they seemed to be kind. And I'm telling you though, when we in our olden days would hang out with this particular group of people, once they became under the influence, they became hateful and racist and ugly and violent and things that they said that came out of them, they never would have said if they hadn't have been under the influence. Anybody ever known someone like that? Not any of y'all, of course, just someone. Amen. Being under the influence, well, if it's in the natural, it can still be in the same as the spirit right now, right? So if you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You will talk, you will walk, you will act just like Jesus when you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen? When you are submitting your life to the influence of the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to fill you, it will come out of you in every single area. And we love to call it within the scriptures. It makes it very much sense when we say it's the fruit of your life. Amen? All right, so the definition of submitting, it means to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. And remember what I told you, that I believe, my opinion, submission has different levels, okay? And I know that, you know, Paul and I have been married for over 30 years, and for a very large percentage of our life, he wrestled with submission. Amen? He wrestled with submission. Now, those of you that know me know I'm a huge boxing fan. I'm a product of the 70s and the 80s. I loved boxing. One of the messages I did not too long ago had, you know, at the end, we left with the Rocky thing. But nowadays, they've kind of upped it up to this sport called MMA. So is there any MMA fighter fans in here? Anybody that likes MMA that watches that? It's a little extreme for me, but I can get into to a good match. A little bit too much blood that can go through there. But in an MMA fight, for those that may not be, mixed martial arts, is that what it stands for? Okay, so the fighters get in the ring, and it's like a caged fight, and they are just swapping it at each other. I mean, open fist, like open feet, I don't know, knees, elbows, hitting on top of the head. It's like, I don't even know if there is any rules. But they have this thing that's called a submission hold. Am I right? Are y'all helping me with this? If I'm not saying it right, a submission hold. And so what happens is in the fighting, somehow the fighter is able to maneuver the other opponent, and he gets him into this hold that either chokes him out, puts enough pressure on his legs or his arms that if one more degree of pressure, he could break the leg, or break the arm, or cause all kinds of major problem. And so they work to get that hold, right? They fight. And then as soon as they get that choke hold, and there's nothing that other opponent can do, he has to do something. And is anybody, what's the term? He taps out. When he does his hand and he taps out, immediately the opponent releases the hold and is declared, right? There's the winning. So the Lord dropped into my spirit this tap out, because that's kind of how I felt watching Paul as he fought to submit to what God wanted him to do. And then there was a moment, an anointed word, an anointed time for my anointed man that the Holy Spirit began to get him to that point where finally he tapped out and he said, okay, God, I'm yours. Because, you know, people from all over were praying that he would, from generations before to current, that he would submit his life to the Lord. Okay? Is that a good analogy? Is that okay if that makes a good sense? There was bloodshed, I'm telling you, but it might have been between us, but there was this moment of a tap out. All right? So I want to talk about three areas of submission. Can y'all hang with me for just three areas of submission this morning? And the first area, remember I told you it's like an onion, it's layers. The first moment of submission that comes in our life is when we submit to salvation. All right? We submit to the anointing and the calling of God that draws us, who pursues us, who says, accept me as your Lord and Savior. Accept the gift of eternal life. Accept the gift that I have given my life for you to receive. And so we are drawn by Him, and then we submit our lives to Him. We call it being born again, that we ask Him to come into our heart. We admit that we're a sinner. We believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless by Him. We accept Him as our Savior and as our Lord. We confess Him as our Savior, and boom, we tap out, and all of a sudden, salvation becomes ours. That's the first area of submission. You can't get to these other three layers unless you get to that first moment of submission where He calls you and you answer. There's people He calls all the time. He's a continuously calling them. He's continuously reaching out to them, but they haven't tapped out. They haven't been willing to submit their life and offer it to Him because He was our sacrifice. Amen? So we have the opportunity to submit to salvation. That's the first area. That's the first thing that we get to do. Amen? So then the next thing that we're going to talk about, the next one, I'm going to stay right here for just a little while because this is so important. The second level of submission that He begins to take us into is found in verse 21 where it says that we submit ourselves, we submitting yourself to one another in the Lord. The next level is when God asks you to submit to others. Let me put it another way. He asks you to become a servant. He asks you to lay down your life to serve others, to be a servant, to in essence be filled with that Holy Spirit and begin to have all these fruits and begin to look like Jesus. I mean, He's our ultimate example, amen? If you go within the Word and you begin to look at who Jesus, how He treated others. Let's just look for his 3-year reign, how He dealt with other people. Number one, He spent time with people, amen? He healed people. What? He went and He hung out with lepers and He healed the lepers? He went and He hung out with people that were sick and He made them whole. He went and he taught people about His Father's love. He went and He ate with people. He spent time with people. He went into their homes with people. He served others. Do you know what He did? He washed the feet of the disciples. He washed their feet. He served others. He fed thousands of people. He rose the dead. He served others. The Word of God tells us in Mark 10, in verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." He came to serve. And I'm not supposed to be like Jesus. Guess what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to serve. I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve. And not just because we as pastors serve. You're supposed to serve one another. You get to this place in your life where God begins to knock down your selfish nature that wants to put myself above someone else, that wants what I want more than what you want, that my need for things becomes more than my desire to help others with things. It's easy to preach the blessed life. Come on. Oh, Lord, bless me. Bless me, Lord. Yes, Lord, give me this. Give me that. Help me get a job. Help me do this. Oh, yes, Lord, let me be this. Let me be that. That's a great message. People will get all excited about that. Yeah, yes, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Yes, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Buy tons of books. Yeah, live that life. Live the blessing. This, bless, 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 bless. Hallelujah. Yes, I want it all. Yes, I want to be healed. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I want you to come and I want you to visit me, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. I want you to do this for me, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. But when you begin to start preaching about the fact that what He wants to do in you is He wants you to be a blessing to others. He wants you to spend your time helping others. He wants to take what God has given you and help others who don't have what you have. To live a life as a servant, to be a servant to the body to pray for those when you don't feel like praying for somebody. When somebody comes and they're like, man, I'm just not feeling well. I don't feel well. You know what? Well, let me tell you, I don't feel well either. I'm not feeling too good either. No, I don't care if I'm not feeling well. I don't care if it's inconvenience to me, that I'm going to stop what I'm going to do and I'm going to serve the person that God puts in front of me. That's good preaching. Come on. Amen. It ain't easy. I know. Because let me tell you what our nature is. Our nature is our flesh is a selfish bully. Because it wants what it wants, when it wants it, and how it wants it. It's a selfish beast. It's a selfish beast. Now, when I begin to talk about putting others before ourselves, I want to be clear, it doesn't mean that we're a doormat, that we don't allow people to walk over us, that we don't speak out for injustice, that we are just not someone that lays down and lets people kick us. Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus spoke out for injustice. Man, he ran people out of the temple when they weren't doing what they needed to be doing. He was bold and he advocated. You know, he hated a religious spirit and he spoke out against that religious spirit. But he took those that were broken and he showed grace to those. Amen. It's not being a doormat. It's being confident, like we said, confident and bold in who we are, that we have the answer. Amen. We're not a doormat. We're not someone that just can be walking all over us, but we have to act like Jesus when we begin to submit our lives to others. Amen. I have a statement that I want to say, and I underlined it in my notes, so that means it's important. So when I tell you it's a profound statement, I'm going to tell you before it's a profound statement so you know it's a profound statement, okay? Are we ready? If you're taking a note, write this down because it's good, it's powerful, it's revelation. Are you ready? Our willingness to submit is a window into our hearts. I'm going to say it one more time. Our willingness to submit to God and to others is a window into our heart. It's a window into our heart. My girls, they laugh at me all the time when we begin to talk about areas in our life that God's working on. And Serena will laugh. I'll laugh because we'll be sitting there and Serena will go, I know. She's going to say, it's a heart issue. It's just a heart issue. If I get to talk and Jordan will be like, I know. Mama said it's a heart issue. Because I can tell you, if you have somebody who's living a life of impurity, living a life of a selfish nature, let me put it this way. They know what they're supposed to do. They know what God wants them to do. They know. But they do it anyway. Whatever they're doing, they know what God is wanting them to do. But that is a window into their heart that shows that they do not have a submissive and has not submitted their flesh. Come on, their flesh that is a bully and it is selfish and it wants what it wants when it wants it. And it doesn't think about anybody else. It doesn't care what anybody else is going through. It doesn't care about the feelings of others. Come on. It doesn't care about sometimes the spirit, the fruit of our life that's called self-control or called temperance. It doesn't care about any of that because it's not even on a leash. This right here, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's the most dangerous thing that we have, that we possess. It can be used to declare blessings and declare righteousness and declare encouragement and declare hope and to speak truth, or it can be used as a weapon to destroy another human being. Our willingness to submit is a window into our heart. You see, my selfish nature has to be controlled by the filling of the Spirit, because I want to walk in the Spirit and I don't want to fulfill the lust of my flesh. I don't want to fulfill my selfish nature that doesn't care about anybody else, that will push ahead and say, no, you wash my feet. What, you want me to wash your feet? What? No, absolutely not. Jesus said, no, you sit down. I'm going to wash your feet. And they were like, oh, no, 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 you can't. You're the Son of God. You can't wash my feet. He said, the Son of Man hasn't come to be served, but to serve. You are here to serve. That is your second thing. We're going to jump to the last area of submission. Are you ready? Here's the third one. You have to submit to the call. Every single one of you in here have a call of God on your life. Every one of you. Every person that I'm looking at right now, every one of you have a call of God that's upon your life. You have put here on this earth to do something incredible for the kingdom of God. He has placed gift, talents, and abilities inside of you. You may not be called to the fivefold ministry. You may be called to be an intercessor. You may be called to be in helping others. You may be called to be an encourager. You may be called to be a paymaster to the body of Christ. But all of us have been called to the gift of reconciliation, to help others not fall off the cliff, but to speak the truth and to help others find the way. Every single one of you is called. Now I'm making a statement here, and this is my opinion. You know, I told the Lord, I said, please, Lord, don't let me speak anything out of that I would represent from the word. I want to speak this. This is just my opinion. OK. So you can take it for what it's worth. You may disagree, and that's fine. I believe from experience in my walk with the Lord that there are many individuals who have submitted to salvation and they have submitted to the call of God on their life. But they have never submitted to others. I'm going to say it again. There are many people who've submitted to their salvation. They have submitted to the call of God on their life. But they have never submitted to be a servant to others. They feel like they are called and they're supposed to be served. That's my opinion. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, this is in the Amplified Bible. For he delivered us and saved us and called us with a holy calling, a calling that leads to a consecrated life, a life set apart, a life of purpose, not because of our works or because of any personal merit. We could do nothing to earn this, but because of his own purpose and grace, his amazing, undeserved favor, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, which was eternal ages ago. When you submit to the call of God on your life, I know for me, it came a moment that God began to draw. I'd already submitted to, even if you go into Ephesians 5, it talks about relationships. It talks about how wives are to submit themselves to their husbands. The husbands are supposed to submit themselves to the Father to lay their life down and love their wives as much as they love us. That children are supposed to submit to their parents. Come on, you know, it goes on into the chapter for that. But that, once again, that's the submission to others as well that we have to learn to submit our lives to. But I know for me in ministry, once I was called into ministry, God called me when I was 19 years old into ministry. And it was many years later that I fully developed what ministry looked like for me. And then there was this moment that happened to me on a bridge on Lake Bistineau. And God had begun to take me into the scriptures where Jesus began to talk about how when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane that he had to lay his life down to do what God called him to do. In fact, it says that he, and it's all found in Matthew, the 26th chapter, but he told over it. He just kept telling the disciples, you know, there were ways his king, I just need you to pray. I just need you to pray for a little while. He said, because I got to make a big decision. I got to do something that's going to be very important. So I need you to pray. And it says that he would go back into the garden and he would pray and he would pray and he would cry out to God. And he was like, you know, I've got to, if this is possible, let this pass from me. And it said that he cried and he wept and he sweated drops of blood And he cried tears of blood because it was such an intense moment. If Jesus had to get to that place where he submitted his life, I knew that there was something that he was asking of me that was going to cost me something. And so on the side of the road at Lake Bistineau, I pulled off on the side of the road and I began to cry and I began to weep and I began to tell God that no longer, like it said in verse 39, not as I will, but as you will. Not what I want, Lord, but what do you want? What does ministry look like, Lord? What I think ministry looks like, I'm laying that down because I want what you want. What is it that you would have me to do, Lord? And whatever it is, if it's getting on a plane, which I never wanted to do, if it's going to an area of somewhere in an area somewhere that was more dangerous or out of my comfort zone. When the first time I walked into the prison down at Wade Correctional, I felt like I was sweating all over. The first time I walked in, you know, and went and did prison ministry with Pastor Angel and them, out of my comfort zone, whatever it is, Lord, that I will lay down my will and I will take on your nature. And I think for many of us, we may never get to that point, because what it ends up doing is it ends up taking you to this place where you lay your life down. You know, the Bible tells us every single day that we are supposed to walk a crucified life, that we daily crucify ourselves. And look, we all mess up. I'll put both hands up in the air. I sometimes have to go back to that place and I have to say, Lord, I submit my will to you. I submit my life to you. Let me serve others. Let me look at the needs of somebody else and put them ahead of me every single time. Let me live that life that has the ability to make an impact in what God has called us to do. And so this morning, here's what I want to do. We're going to close out. I want you to do a heart check right now. I want you to take just a few moments. And I want you to self-examine your heart. Just like I tell my kids all the time, it's just a heart issue. If you're living like hell and thinking you're getting to heaven, check your heart. Those two cannot coincide in the same body. You cannot live a life of hell and expect to receive anything from the kingdom of God. It's what his word says, not my words. It's what his word says. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Do I make a mistake? My gosh, I repented this morning. I repented yesterday. We live a life asking the Father to help us. And I know it's easy to begin to say, well, you just don't understand. You don't understand. It's just not easy. And you're right. It's not easy. It's the hardest thing you will ever do. But I do know that when you begin to fill your life with the Spirit of God, when you begin to open up your spirit and allow his word, like we said this morning when we started, when you begin to let the word begin to come into your life and begin to say it. I mean, that's a key. It's just you begin to say it. You begin to say, Father God, make me a servant. Make me a servant. Let me lay down my flesh. Let me crucify my flesh. Let me take control over my flesh. And allow your spirit to come inside me so that I will act like Jesus. So people will know that I'm his daughter, that you're his son. We are living in the days of revelation. If you do not believe me, then turn on the news and to begin to look at the chaos that is surrounding this entire world. It is time for the body of Christ to rise up and begin to take an inventory of our heart and begin to take an inventory of who God has called us to be and to take a deep look into us and ask the Father to illuminate any darkness that's inside of us. And allow the light to open it up inside of us so that we might be able to be about the business of the kingdom of God. Amen. So let's do an inventory this morning. Let's stand our feet. Let's stand our feet.